Nobody can be too Jewish.
That's exactly it. You got it.
Shalom and welcome to the Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together today of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Alana Waxman, filmmaker of We Burn Like This. We'll also have a visit from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and a special guest appearance from Rabbi and Cantor Baruch Kohan, talking about the upcoming event, From TV to Torah, with Rabbi Baruch Kohan at Congregation Beit Simcha on Sunday, January 16th. Please email your comments to us at 2JewishRadio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at 2JewishRadio.com. The opinions of the host and guests on 2 Jewish are their own and not those of the radio station. 2 Jewish is paid for by 2 Jewish radio programs and podcasts, Tucson, Arizona. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and 2 Jewish.
Shalom. I have a bone to pick this morning, or perhaps it's simply a long-standing Jewish kvetch that's turned into a major complaint. Judaism has long been a religion that strives to create a kind of working, practical way to seek holiness. I call it pragmatic idealism when I teach about my own religion, which I do more or less constantly as a rabbi and cantor. And that means that most of the ideals we advocate, besides a few absolutes, are applied in a reasonable way, allowing human beings to function within practical limits. Fanaticism is not really the Jewish way, and this has allowed us to remain true to our principles while evolving over the course of millennia. We may argue from all points of view, including extreme ones, but we generally reach consensus somewhere in the middle. In fact, Judaism can be seen as an elaborate form of communal compromise, in which the Jewish people as a whole work to decide the norms of religious practice and cultural acceptability based on what actually is doable for the vast majority of Jews. While Jews in every age choose to observe our religion in somewhat different ways, generally speaking, we end up with something that reflects the totality of our history, our textual dedication, and authentic peoplehood. You could say the melodies may be different, but the words don't change much. At various times in our history, we've had to make truly revolutionary changes in how we worshipped or followed the principles established in the legal sections of the Torah. But those huge sea changes were the result of truly extraordinary circumstances: the destruction of the First Temple, the destruction of the Second Temple, and the development of the synagogue, the medieval response to the rediscovery of ancient wisdom, and, of course, the advent of modernity. They all compelled our people to seek to reinvent or at least reinvigorate our deep tradition. But the extreme approach is usually not the one we Jews ultimately embrace. Which brings me to the state of argument and intellectual culture in today's world. I struggle to comprehend the level of virulent anger and hostility that virally spreads so quickly in our society. In the past week, I've heard and read vicious slanders of every sort circulating on social media. It's not hard. Just look at your Facebook or Twitter feed or emails. On the anniversary of the January 6th insanity of last year, there were simply preposterous forms of personal attack all over the internet. But it's not just online. I saw an older woman literally screaming at a clerk in a pharmacy about the face mask the clerk was wearing, a requirement for her employment, I'm sure, for a cool 10 minutes, while a long line of customers waited for her to finish venting just so they could check out. Why is everybody so very angry? In a first-world country with a solid standard of living and reasonably decent public services, just what the devil is happening? Perhaps our long Jewish history of persecution and persevering has taught us better. But the approach of my people may include plenty of kvetching and occasionally raised voices. Okay, more than occasionally. But not this level of sinat chinam, baseless hatred and rage. Perhaps the best Jewish lesson to take from all of this is to note that the middle ground is often the one that yields the best results for everyone, and that moderation, a measured approach to the realities of a complicated world that changes all the time, is nearly always the most productive course to take. And so, to play us in this morning, here's a reflection of those eternal values in song. Israeli star Gad Elbaz singing a message of harmony and peace, Psalm 23.
ינחני במגלה צדק למען שמו גם כי אלך בגי צל מוות.
That was Gad Elbaz singing the 23rd Psalm. When we come back in a moment on To Jewish, our guest, Alana Waksman, describes what motivated her to create her new film, We Burn Like This, over the course of years, what it had to do with her own Jewish experience growing up in a small town, and how that connected her to Montana, and my connection there, and much more, all when we come back in a moment here on To Jewish.
We are the soul of Tucson. We are your neighbors and friends. Our commitment to provide the very best relies on the finest products and services you, our community, has to offer. Together, we make Tucson thrive. When we win, you win. Casino del Sol, the soul of Tucson. Enterprise of the Pasquayaki Tribe.
We are delighted to welcome to Two Jewish our guest this morning. She's Alana Waksman, the filmmaker of We Burn Like This, a new film that's touring all of the festivals, and really an interesting film focused on really Jewish identity. Good morning and welcome to Two Jewish.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the genesis of We Burn Like This.
Yes, well, this is a film I've been making for the last 7 years, actually, and it started off in a very different manner, and we can get into that some more, but
okay.
It evolved and became much more personal as time went on and became much more in response to my own identity and my own thoughts about just historical trauma, being a descendant of Holocaust survivors myself, and the way I'm thinking about myself and about Jewish identity and trying to work out some of those ideas in the film.
So it starts out, and I don't want to give away too much, but it starts out with a young woman, protagonist, kind of figuring out her relationships, her friendships, what her life's going to be all about. It doesn't really focus at all on the Jewish identity aspect of it initially. And it's set in a town close to my heart, Billings, Montana. Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Well, I originally knew I wanted to set it in Montana. I kind of had this idea of what Montana was like from, I think it came originally from actually writing to my cousin who grew up in Montana as a kid. And I kind of tried on a lot of different Montana towns. You know, I grew up in Iowa, so I figured Montana was kind of like Iowa, but with mountains, and I wanted a...
Well, I mean, I think if you're Jewish in a small town in Iowa, it probably is a little bit like being in Montana without the mountains and the skiing.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's some similarities for sure, and, you know, I just wanted a place that, and you'll see this in the movie, you know, a place that really dwarfs a person in a way, and to echo how the character is feeling on the inside. We kind of see that in being, you know, around these vast landscapes that make you feel very small and make you feel very isolated. So it evolved. I traveled around Montana a lot and tried out setting it in different places and eventually landed in Billings as the main location, though we also go to Butte, Montana.
Right.
And Billings, ended up feeling right because of some of the history that has happened there, and to kind of align this story with some of the recent history, not too long ago history, of anti-Semitism that's taken place in Billings.
We will go into that much more, and also how We Burn Like This shows kind of the evolution of Jewish identity and the descendant of Holocaust survivors when we come back in a moment with Alana Waxman here on Too Jewish. Congregation Beit Simcha, the House of Joy, a Jewish synagogue in northwest Tucson in the Catalina foothills, continues to celebrate a wonderful array of services, classes, and events this winter. Established by passionate, caring congregants and me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, Beit Simcha has created a vibrant, vital community that strives every day to serve God with joy. A new progressive congregation in northwest Tucson and the foothills, Beit Simcha is open to everyone throughout the metropolitan area, providing weekly Shabbat services Friday night and Saturday morning, youth and adult education academy courses, social justice opportunities, outreach, and wonderful cultural Jewish programming. Join us for in-person Shabbat services or come on Facebook Live. Go to our website, BeitSimchaTucson.org, BeitSimchaTucson.org. We welcome members and guests in our sanctuary safely but in person. Call 520-276-5675 for more information. Beit Simcha Synagogue is located at 2270 West Ina Road on the north side of Ina, just west of La Cholla, near the entrance to the Foothills Mall property. Services, classes, and events are open to everyone. Join us in person Friday night and Saturday morning. Email us, rabbi@beitsimchatucson.org, BeitSimchaTucson.org. Or join us every Friday night on our Facebook page for Shabbat evening celebration services with full music at 6:30 p.m. Saturday Shabbat morning services are preceded by Torah study at 9 a.m. and services at 10 o'clock. All with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, leading them. Facebook page is Beit Simcha Tucson, BeitSimcha Tucson. All of our Adult Education Academy classes are live and on Zoom. You can access those through the website or email me, rabbi@beitsimchatucson.org. Our wonderful religious school is available in blended format too, some students live and some on Zoom. For more information about Congregation Beit Simcha to attend services, our great religious school and Torah Tikes programs, bar and bat mitzvah, confirmation and high school programs, and rich array of Adult Education Academy courses taught in person and on Zoom, and of course all of our services in person and on Facebook, go to BeitSimchaTucson.org, BeitSimchaTucson.org, or call 520-276-5675. By the way, this coming Sunday, January 16th, join us for TV to Torah with Rabbi Baruch, Rabbi Ant Cantor, I should say, Baruch Barry Kohan, talking about his experience in television's golden age and his journey to becoming a full-time clergyman. Join me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, in this newest Jewish community in all of southern Arizona in its exciting beginning years, BeitSimchaTucson.org, 520-276-5675. If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at TooJewishRadio18@gmail.com. That's T-O-O, JewishRadio18@gmail. Or visit our website, TooJewishRadio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website, TooJewishRadio.com, streaming us from there, or downloading us from the Apple iTunes Store's very popular Jewish podcasts, top 10 in North America, according to Moment Magazine, over 175,000 downloads on Podbean. We are delighted to welcome a very special guest to Too Jewish, Rabbi and Cantor Baruch Kohan, better known when he was in the industry as Barry Kohan. Good morning and welcome back to Too Jewish.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Might mention, of course, he's my dad. Dad, you worked in the motion picture television industry, what's called the industry in Southern California, for better than 10 years. Just give us one highlight of your career, if you don't mind.
Okay. I guess the probably the most popular show I worked on was the Cisco Kid. And of course, we had a lot of good times there. Interesting things happened. And I got quite well acquainted with the industry unions. The IATSC is the International Association of Theatrical and Stage Employees.
Okay.
And all the studio crafts were involved in that total union, whether the prop men, the stuntmen, not the stuntmen, but the actors, the makeup guys, you know, and the electricians, sound men.
Like pretty much everybody on the set. Yeah, okay. Just about everybody.
It was like that. And of course, it went down from generation to generation. And what sticks in my mind about it is like 30 years later, I'm working as a consultant on a feature picture. And the prop man was known as Vic. They called him Vic.
Okay.
And I looked at him and I heard the name Vic. And I went up to him. I said, Vic, I said, let me ask you something. I said, well, he said, what's that? I said, is your last name Petrata? He said, how did you know that? I said, your father was my prop man on the Cisco Kid series.
So this is a guy who was on the Cisco Kid and later was on the Frisco Kid or some other show, film?
The Frisco Kid was what I was on then. But
yeah, the feature film much later.
Many years later. This is his son.
Like 20 years later, his kid is working on this in the same business.
Right.
What was your favorite part about working in the industry when you worked on Cisco Kid and Sea Hunt and all of those different TV shows and then some films?
Well, I guess I'll cover some of this in
the program on TV to Torah, yeah, which is coming up on January 16th at Congregation Beit Simcha. You can go to BeitSimchaTucson.org to sign up or come online. You can join on Facebook.
Yeah, but basically, I went into the industry because I wanted to make whatever I had to say, I wanted to make it available to the world, you know. I had very big ambitions in those days. And motion picture film in those days, which, of course, all our TV work was done on film. But it's a way to get things out to the public. Things that you want to say experiences that you want to share. And so I had an opportunity to get acquainted with people who could do that. And I really like to make this all this stuff available to the world.
It's fantastic. Dad, thank you. I know, you know, you had quite a career. You went from making TV series and motion pictures to becoming a full-time rabbi and cantor, but still work with some people in Hollywood. And we'll hear more about that at TV to Torah Sunday night, January 16th, 6:30 p.m. at Congregation Beit Simcha. You can go to our website. You can also join us online through our Facebook feed. All registered users can join for that. Thanks so much, Dad.
Thank you.
The stories we share last a lifetime and are passed down from generation to generation, known for our compassionate commitment to the families we serve. Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has faithfully served the Tucson community and the Jewish community for over 100 years. We help thousands of families plan and carry out celebrations of loved ones in unique and special ways and assist them in sharing those lifetimes of stories meaningfully. The most beautiful and tranquil final resting place in all of Southern Arizona, Evergreen's tall pines shade peaceful grassy fields. You can count on Evergreen for superior service and the highest degree of integrity. Our informative, well-trained staff is here to assist you with a full range of on-site services. Call Evergreen. 520-888-7470, 520-888-7470. While we serve the whole community, our experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. We have sections dedicated to all religious faiths, can help you arrange for your future needs or your immediate ones. Whether you choose to hold a traditional funeral service or a completely individualized ceremony, either in person or online or both, our goal is to help you create a meaningful, personalized service based upon your unique needs. in a place of reflection, tradition, and serenity. Until December 31st, 2021, get additional holiday savings off 2021 prices. Avoid inflation. Save your family additional costs down the road. Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best to the community and to you. Call 520-888-7470. To speak to a family advisor at Evergreen, call 520-888-7470. We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
We've been talking about sectarianism a long time ago, which has had a huge impact in the development of Judaism and Christianity and their relationship. We talked last time a little bit about the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the first century. How the Pharisees were lower and middle class Jews who were focused on how to make their lives kind of more ethically important and related to Torah. Sadducees were the aristocrats, more focused around the temple, the kingship, the aristocracy, and ritual.
Yeah, you gave a very helpful explanation during the last episode of the factual difference between the two. Now, what's interesting is in early Christian texts, including the Gospels,
right,
they set up a false dichotomy between Pharisees and Sadducees. They conveniently ignore the many other sects that existed at the same time. But they portray the Pharisees as the black hats, the bad guys, and the Sadducees as the white hats or the good guys. And they characterize Jewish decadence as too great a focus on the letter of the law and not enough focus on the spirit of the law. And they blame that wrongly on the Pharisees. They also portray the Pharisees as having corrupted the central institution of the Jewish people, which was the temple, and the system of sacrifices and setting up money-changing booths in the courtyards of the temple and the precincts of the temple. And basically, they accused the Pharisees of a lot of the same things that popes were accused of in the end of the 15th century during the Borgia and Medici period, when they were selling papal offices and selling indulgences and all this. All those behaviors, it's almost as if they foresaw them and attributed